This time I'd like for us to take our Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I don't need to tell any of us, but we are definitely living in a challenging, different times for our generation. It seems like every generation kind of goes through some difficult times or another. When you think of like the generation that went through the Revolutionary War, and then Civil War, and then World War I, and then the Depression, and then World War II. And so our generation, you might say, this is the biggest event we've had to meet the challenge of. And as I think about it, I mean, there's so many different directions we could go with this train of thought, but I thought about, well, what can we as God's people do? We can holler and clamor and call our congressmen and write them, which I'm not saying we shouldn't. There should be a certain aspect of that. But if you notice how much, even many times, that no matter how much we may clamor to our government officials, they still do what they want to do anyway. And so the question is, well, then what can we do? What should we do? And as I was thinking about that, I felt led to for us to consider Colossians 2, 6, and 8. So I think the best thing we can do as for our country, for our church, for our family, is to do as much as we can to have a healthy Christian life. That's the best thing we can do for our country, for our church, and for our family. Strive to have a healthy Christian life. And so I want us to look at this particular passage and look at some things that will help us to develop and also maintain, maybe strengthen, a good, healthy Christian life. In Colossians chapter 2, I'd like for us to read three verses. Start with verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Let's pray. Lord, guide our thoughts tonight. You've promised in your word that you will use your word. So Lord, we pray that you would use the word tonight, that in spite of this earthen vessel, as I may proclaim thy word, Lord, may your spirit take the word. And as it is called also the sword of the spirit, may it cut asunder our hearts, the thoughts and intents of our heart. Lord, that we may be willing to see what you see in our hearts. And that you would strengthen us where need be, rebuke us. And Lord, strengthen us in our walk with you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. As we look at these three verses, I'd like to kind of break it down into three main thoughts. Number one, to have a healthy Christian life, it's going to kind of follow the same principles somewhat as we consider how to have a healthy body. And the first thing I'd like for us to look at in verse 6 is, number one, we need to walk correctly. Walk correctly. As we all know, that they say one of the best, easiest exercises anybody can do for the health is walking. By God's grace, I try to walk about 2 miles a day, and I try to get that in. And it does help a person. It invigorates them, and it's a good, healthy habit. And so here he's talking about, as you receive Christ, so walk ye in Him. And that's interesting how he compares. It's kind of like, as you do this, did this, so also do this. And so let's look at the comparison. Part of walking correctly is, I believe, a very important part is, number one, remember how it was when you and I received Christ. Because he's kind of, again, he said, as you received Him, the same principles apply to as you walk with Him. So how did we receive Christ? I think it's a very important thing that we constantly go over in our hearts, the blessing of being saved. One of the disadvantages, that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek situation, being saved for many, many years, like, you know, I was thinking about, I've been saved now for 56 years almost, is that it's so easy to forget because we're so used to it. We tend to forget what it meant to get saved. And I think it's good for us to just think about how real, yes, it's a theological concept that we have to concentrate on, but also try to let it affect our heart. That realize God, by His grace and mercy, took a lost, hell-bound sinner, forgave him her of all the sins. Excuse me. And gave to us the gift of eternal life. Pardon me as I lose my tie. I know it's not protocol, but Lord will forgive me, I'm sure. And gave us the blessing of being His child. And we should remember, spend some time meditating upon what it means just to be saved. And as we think about that, Paul is saying, as you received Him, so walk in Him. Well, how did we receive Christ? What component, so to speak, in our heart and life worked in our lives that we received Christ? Number one, we had to have a level of humility. Realizing that I am a sinner. I am sinner by nature. I'm sinner by my action. I'm a sinner by my choices. And yes, I do deserve eternity in the lake of fire. And so as we think about that's part of how we got saved, he's saying that's also the same way we need to walk with Him. How? Realizing we're saved only by the grace of God, and therefore we are to walk humbly with God. Too many times after we've been saved for many, many years, there's the tendency or the possibility, we start thinking, well, I'm a pretty good person. I've been saved for so many years, and I'm pretty good. So it's kind of like, Lord, I'm saved, and now I'm going on with my life, and I'm going to prove to You how valuable You are. I am to Your work. But we need to remember, folks, if it wasn't for the mercy and grace of God, we still wouldn't be living a life that brings Him glory. And so we need to, so we were humbled ourselves and under salvation, we need to humble ourselves as we walk with the Lord daily. How else did we come to Him? We yielded. We came to the point where we realized, I cannot save myself. I cannot do it myself. I can't do it my way. So we yield to the Lord and we get saved. Well, the same token, how many times do you read in the Scripture where the Lord emphasizes denying yourself, yielding to Him, doing it His way, submission? And so therefore, just as that we are saved by yielding, we also need to walk with a yielded spirit in our heart. And also think about obedience. You know, that is interesting. Many times in different places, it talks about, for example, like in 1 Thessalonians chapter, 2 Thessalonians, excuse me, chapter 1, God's Word says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and then notice the phrase, and that obey not the gospel. So there's a certain aspect of obedience unto salvation. they that obey not. In other words, when we get saved because we're obeying, we're doing what the Lord says of how to be saved. When the Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? They said, what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had, in a sense, had to obey that command. Trust in the Lord. So the same way, that's the way he said, so as you received Him, so also walk in Him. Be obedient. Be obedient to the principles of God's holy word. Then also believe. Again, like the Philippians jailer, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. So as we put our trust in Him for salvation, he said we need to walk trusting God. Trying not to figure things out in our own strength and our own wisdom, but just trust Him. Was it trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding? That's an admonition to believers. And so the first thing about living a good, having a good, healthy Christian life, walk correctly, meaning as we receive Christ, so also walk with Him. I think there also where it says in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, what did the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God? So he's saying, you want a healthy Christian life? Then walk correctly and walk humbly with our Savior. But then we get to verse 7. And I'd like for us to consider the importance of establishing healthy habits. Just like, again, to have a healthy body, you've got to have healthy habits. Like exercising properly, being careful what you eat. And like we're in the day and age, you know, washing your hands frequently, regularly, thoroughly, and for a long period of time until you start wearing the skin off. You know, at least that's what it seems like. But anyhow, so we establish healthy habits. Well, let's consider some of the things he mentions here. First of all, he says, rooted up in Christ. rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ. Well, when you think of the concept of roots, what does that say into us? We all know the basics of botany, where a plant, in order for it to be a healthy plant, has to be in soil with the roots going into it. And through the root system, that plant gets all the nutrients it needs apart from the process of photosynthesis. But still, it has to get all of its nutrients through its roots out of the dirt. I mean, you ever thought about this kind of as a sub-point? Everything of our life comes from dirt. Our lives, truly, when the Lord made Adam from dust, we are from dirt. You think everything we eat came from dirt. You say, well, what about hamburger? Well, that's what I call reconstituted grass. Because, the cow eats the grass, which comes out of the ground, produces hamburger, and there we are. So everything we have, we come from dirt because dust we are. And dust we shall return. But through the root system, though, those plants get all the nutrients it needs to live and be alive and be healthy. And so Paul is saying here, be rooted in Christ. Everything we need, folks, should come in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say there in Philippians 4? But my God shall supply all your what? Your need. Everything we need to live a healthy Christian life, we get in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Too many times we kind of get lifted up with our pride, thinking, I'm strong enough to handle this. I'm smart enough to figure this out. And we don't humble ourselves and realize, no, everything that we need, we have to get through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're to be rooted in Christ. Rooted in Him. Everything that we need for life, to live a Christian life, we come in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But then he goes on and says, rooted and built up in Him. It's kind of another illustration the Apostle Paul is using, that if we want to have a proper Christian life, we need to be built up in Christ. And he's referring here to a building principle. And everybody knows that, to have a good, solid building, you've got to follow the fundamentals of building. You start off with a proper, thick enough footing. You start off with if you have a slab, you have the proper concrete. You have the proper type slump. And if you're a contractor, you know what that is. And you need to have between 4 and 6 inch slump, which means that the concrete is at its best strength. Then when you build the walls, you be sure that the walls are plumb and square. I mean, you can't have a wall where it's like it's supposed to be 90 degrees and have it 85 degrees. You're going to have problems putting your trusses on. And so you have to follow the fundamentals of building. Now, I will admit, there's absolutely no perfect building here on this earth. I mean, even this church here. As a previous project manager, I can show you a lot of places where it's not perfect. I won't tell you what they are, but there are some there. Why? There's absolutely no way we and our humanists can build an absolutely 100% perfect building. Kind of makes me think, boy, heaven's going to be wonderful, isn't it? Because we know that it will be. As those mansions that the Lord's building, it's going to be perfectly constructed. But if you want a good, healthy Christian life, though, we've got to build our life up on the fundamentals of the Christian life. That's one reason, to a certain extent. Anymore, we have to use it carefully. We are fundamentalists. What does that mean? We stand upon the fundamentals of the Word of God. And that's one of those problems of America spiritually is so many churches are going away from those fundamentals, weakening, compromising biblical principles because they're getting away from the basic principles that build a good Christian life and a good, solid church. So the Paul is saying here, if you want to have a good, healthy Christian life, be rooted and be built up in Jesus Christ. Stand, build your life upon plain biblical principles as taught in the Word of God. But then notice something else he says here. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. How thankful are we for what God's doing in our lives, teaching us, molding us, shaping us? You know, I would venture to say that all of us that are parents look back, and if we had a good, even a basically good parent ourselves, when we were kids, and they would discipline us, and they'd go over and over and over and over, and you know, you wouldn't say anything, but okay, Dad, yes, Dad, I heard you. Yes, Dad, for the thousandth time, I heard you. Or that's that discipline that was somewhat painful and uncomfortable. And you know how they would say, "Now this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me." And you look at that switch and you say, "I don't see how." But once you become a parent and you look back, you realize, you know, I am so thankful for what my parents did when I was a kid. Become thankful. It's just kind of like I was working on the irrigation system and with a guy that was helping me, or I was helping him, really. And he got talking about how when he was a kid growing up, he said, my dad made sure that we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And when the doors were open, he made sure, he made us go to church. And when I became an old, got out on my own, I did not want to go to church. And he kind of said it like that, you know, and I'm sure we've all heard people say that. Well, my dad parents made me go to church, and so I've decided once I get on my own, I'm just not going to, because I've got tired of them trying to cram it down my throat. Well, I said to this guy, I said, well, didn't they also make you go to school? Did that bother you? And he, well, thankfully, I can say that after he got in his early 20s, he did get back to church and started serving the Lord. And thankfully, he saw it. But he saw the point that I was making. And how a lot of people need to think about, you know, so your parents made you go to church. You know why? Because they saw that it's important. Because you think about it, according to the scripture, what's more important? Learning how to have a relationship with God and living for Him, or getting a good education? Which is more important, knowledge or godliness? Of course, now don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we shouldn't strive to have a good education for our kids. And if the Lord so direct and provide, send them to college, let them get a good education. But far more important than that is learning how to live godly. And so Paul is saying here, as you think of your, as you're rooted in Him and built up in Him, because you think about it, when we build up our lives the way the Scriptures teach us, there's going to be some things that are not comfortable. We're going to have to give up some things. We're going to have to embrace some things that we're not comfortable doing. We're going to be different than the world. But it's the same token, just as parents made you, may have been uncomfortable, but we realized they were trying to develop a good godly person. So God is saying, look, as you listen to my Scripture and submit to it, realize I'm trying to build a godly person in your life. I'm trying to build some godly character. So be thankful. Be thankful. So we see the need, verse 6, of walking correctly. We see the need in verse 7 of establishing healthy habits. Then in verse 8, we see the warning to avoid contaminants. Avoid contaminants. Just like to have a healthy body, we realize there are some things we need to avoid. We don't want to eat a lot of junk food. And notice I said not a lot. I'm not saying don't eat any at all, because that would take away our Twinkies. But we need to be careful how much junk food we eat. You have to be careful of the things that, you know, you take your fruit and your produce home, you wash it off because you want to get off any of the extra spray and stuff that they use to preserve it. But notice what some of the things that Paul's saying here. Now, these things are somewhat overlapping, but I'd like for us to look at them and consider it. Beware lest any man spoil you through, number one, philosophy. Number two, tradition of men. And number three, rudiments of the world. Now, before we look into that, let's look at what Paul said. Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now, what's he saying there? He's saying here that if we listen to these things, it will spoil and negatively affect our walk with God. You know what it's like to, you know, maybe you buy a bag of apples and you put them in the bottom of your drawer and you put other stuff on top of it. And after about 2-3 weeks, you reach in there to get an apple and squish, it goes right on an apple that's half rotten. And you know, so what do you do with that apple? You throw it out. Why? It's no good anymore. It's worthless. It has become spoiled. And so what? So Paul is saying here, beware lest anyone spoil you, ruin you, negatively affect you to where you're no longer useful in the eyes of God. And he says, beware. And remember who Paul is writing to here. If you look at chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, to the saints, he said, ye believers, you need to beware. Any one of us, it's possible that any one of us can be spoiled and become non-effective for the glory of God. How we need to be so careful, realize that, you know, just like I've said many times before, you can find somebody who's in church regularly, every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night, singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school or whatever, and giving them a few years, something happens in their life, and they're gone from church. You know, we no longer see them anymore. What happened? They got spoiled. They listened to wrong philosophy. They didn't stand upon biblical truths. They're not rooted in their relationship with Jesus Christ. They were not built up upon the fundamental truths of God's Word. And it could happen to any one of us. Any one of us. So Paul said, beware, watch out. Just because you're strong in the church now, just because you're walking with the Lord now, doesn't mean that the devil's not going to try to bring something in your life to spoil you, to make you non-effective for the glory of God. So beware. Then he mentions some things to beware of. Number one, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Now, what is philosophy? Philosophy means a worldview. It's a system of thinking. And, you know, when he says beware of philosophy, any system of thought that excludes the truths of God's Word will ruin a person's life. I mean, you think about so much of the philosophy that teaches the idea that, well, you are what you are because the way your parents treated you. Your parents, when you was a kid, they wouldn't let you eat all you wanted to, so that's the reason you're so fat, because you wanted to make up for it. Or your parents forced you to work, so that's the reason you're so lazy, you're trying to get away from it. And are you're this way because your parents did this way. And no sense of personal responsibility. But that is a philosophy that has permeated a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists. Is that, well, you are what you are because of the way your parents affected you. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yes, of course, our parents should affect us. But there are no perfect parents. I wasn't a perfect parent. You're not a perfect parent. And nobody is a perfect parent. So if we wanted to, we could blame all of our idiosyncrasies and dysfunctionalism upon the dysfunctionalism of our parents. But that's not the way God's Word teaches. What does God's Word teach us? So then every man shall give account of who? Himself. We are responsible ourselves to be held accountable. And so he's saying, beware of philosophy. Whatever kind of philosophy is contrary to this book, beware of it. Beware of it. Don't let it ruin your life. Don't listen to it. We need to anything that we hear, any doctor we may listen to, any psychologist the person may listen to, any preacher that we may listen to. We need to check it out and see if it's in line with what the Scriptures teach. And if not, we realize that is a philosophy that is contrary to God and will not help us. But notice what goes on and says also there, the tradition of men. The tradition of men. Remember how Jesus Christ talked about to the Pharisees? You may void the Word of God, the void of God of non-effect, by keeping your tradition. And what tradition was he referring to? Well, at that time, the tradition they're talking about is they were eating with unwashed hands. And the Pharisees have this tradition, you've got to wash your hands before you eat as a ceremonial thing. It wasn't a health thing. I mean, I don't think they had COVID-19 back in those days, so it was a ceremonial thing. And they thought, well, you know, you're violating our tradition. And Paul is saying here, look, there's times that man's traditions can be contrary to biblical principles. And to watch out for. I mean, as I was trying to think about it in a way maybe to apply it, it's kind of a different angle, but bear me out with this. You know, in our Baptist churches, so to speak, we have the tradition we meet for Sunday school. There's nothing in Scripture says thou shalt meet at 10 o'clock every Sunday for Sunday school. It's a tradition. We meet at 11 o'clock. We have Sunday night service at 6 o'clock. We have Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we come to church wearing our suit and ties, carrying our Bible, and we're following all these traditions. Now, they're good traditions. I really believe they're all very good traditions. But what has happened is sometimes with some of us, we get the idea, I am really a spiritual Christian because look, I go to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I carry my Bible, and I look decent, so therefore I must be a good Christian. And Paul is saying, look, watch out for tradition of men because that may or may not be absolutely lining up with Scripture. Now, a spiritual person will do those things. Of course, I don't know if spirituality and wearing a tie goes together or not. I'm not sure about that. But a spiritual person will bring their Bible to church or have their Bible with them. Why? Because they're hungry for the Word of God. A spiritual person will want to be at church as much as possible. Why? I want to hear the Word of God taught, and I want to fellowship with God's people. But just the act of doing it does not mean you're spiritual. So following the tradition of man per se does not make us spiritual. And so I was saying, beware of tradition. There are some traditions that are very, very good. But be sure you're not following it in order to impress God. But then he goes on and says, and also beware of the rudiments of the world. And the word rudiment here has the idea of the basics of the way man thinks. How does our world think? And Paul's saying, watch out for this philosophy, the traditional way man may think. Man may think, and you see that advertised a lot, well, you deserve this, you deserve that. The man may think, well, whatever feels good, it's okay to do it. Or one something we've heard a lot these days is like, well, what's wrong with love? As long as you love someone, it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. Another aspect of the rudiments of the world is always, let's shift the responsibility. Let's blame someone else, or like some people develop the idea, it's the government's responsibility to take care of me. No, it's not. So we could go on and on and on of the rudiments of the world. And Paul is saying, you better watch out. Maybe it's materialism. Watch out for the rudiments of the world because it will spoil you and ruin you. Paul is saying, look, if you want a healthy Christian life, you need to avoid these things that will contaminate you and ruin you, make you non-effective for the use of God. So as we think about these things with the desire and hunger to be a vessel God can use, we need to be sensitive before the Lord. And let the truth of God's Word permeate our hearts. Humble ourselves before Him. And where need be, repent. And cry out to God, Lord, strengthen me, teach me, mold me, shape me, that I may be a vessel that brings you honor and glory. And folks, in conclusion, that's the best thing we can do for our country, for our church, and for our family. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. Oh, how we cry out to you to speak to us. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, just open up our eyes that we may speak as David wrote in Psalm 91, Lord, may I speak the truth in my own heart. What you desire is the hidden man, that which is on the inside being truthful. Lord, open up our eyes to the things that we are embracing that is of the world. And may we let you so work in our life to purge those things that are hindering us from drawing closer to you, to be a better vessel for your use. Oh, Father, how we cry out to you for your mercy. How we cry out in need for your grace. And Lord, may you do a work in our hearts. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.